Hello, everyone. Welcome to the new year. I'm not really sure what you've seen so far, but Lori was sitting here while I was getting the camera, and we were just setting the thing up, and I realized that it said live. So I think I'm live. So why don't you... I don't even see the screen. Well, oh my goodness. We're starting the new year really well, aren't we? Well, maybe our editor in South Dakota is going to have to edit out the first part. So anyway, well, look at, I don't even have my stuff ready to go here. Oh, I got a dipper today. I'm going to dip. I love dipping in my coffee. I love doing that. And I found this in the kitchen at church here. And so that's good. And I'll put it right here for now, because I don't want to be crunching on it while we're together this morning. So, happy 2022. It's so good to be with you on this first Wednesday morning of the year and having Holy Fika. Well, last week we were at the world's largest pheasant in Huron, South Dakota, and it was cold out. But you know what I got most comments about? Not the pheasant, but the hat I was wearing. And I've got to tell you, I've got a couple of those hats. In fact, I'm kind of a cap hat guy. And part of the reason is I need to protect the dome up there. And I've got some great, great winter hats, especially some from Ireland. You know, those little cap kind of things that I always said when I was in my 20s and 30s I would never wear when my father wore them. And now I've got some of them. And then I've got some great stormy hats, you know, those, they're great. And so anyway, what you saw was just one of them last week. Well, you didn't tune in to talk about that. Let me just tell you that we are having community supper here tonight, and it's the first Wednesday night of the year, and we're back from vacation. And the other thing I want to say to you is that for those of you that are listening from a distance, you may hear noise in the background, and it's going to be the snowplow in the parking lot because it's snowing here. And they're doing snow removal all around town. And when I was driving from the house to the church this morning, there were people out snow blowing already. And not a lot of snow, but it's, you know, it's typical northern Minnesota January kind of snow. But it was nice and fluffy. And so, you know, when people blow it, it's way up in the air. It's a pretty cool thing. So anyway, I feel bad for those of you that are in Florida, those of you that are in Arizona, those of you that are away from it, that you're missing this great, great snow and this brisk weather and breathing in the freshness of that. And instead, you're in your shirt sleeves and bored to death and not having to make decisions about what coat you're going to wear, how many coats you're going to wear, how heavy a sweater you're going to wear. You know, I feel bad for you. We have just such a full life here in northern Minnesota. But anyway, oh, who put the nickel in me this morning? That's the question. Well, this first Fika of the year, I've been thinking a lot about. And you know that what we do on Wednesday morning flows out of simply what God is doing in me. You get me in my raw form. I mean, it's what I'm thinking about, what I'm contemplating, dots I'm trying to connect, discoveries I've made, and that's what I like to do on Wednesday morning. And it's like bouncing it off of you, except I don't always get feedback from you, but sometimes I do, and I really appreciate that. And I'm hoping that maybe you'll think with me about some of these things that God seems to be stirring up in me. And that's what I pray for, that God will, for all of my life, until the day I die, that he would stir up in me, constantly stir up in me, new ideas and freshness. When I was growing up, we had a pastor, and everyone called him OJ. It was Oscar Johnson was his name, and he had a really heavy, heavy Swedish brogue, and he would drive up from the cities. And when he was a young man, he had worked in Minneapolis Moline, but he had some some quirks, just like we all do. And I'm sure there are people that pick up on my quirks and laugh at them too. And I have a lot of quirks. And I remember when I started ministry, I didn't realize when I would stand in front, I would pull my pants up like this. And all of a sudden, one day I was walking through the parking lot and I saw members of the youth group doing the same thing and laughing. And I didn't even realize that I had been doing it. So anyway, we all have these crazy quirks. And Oscar Johnson had one that he would say, shusher, like shusher Johnson, shusher. And so when you were talking to him, I was like, shusher, shusher. And I, you know, just remember when you're a kid, some of those funny things. He drove a Comet that was, I always thought the trunk was loaded with hymnals because the Comet sat like this and he was way down. And he was one of the old-fashioned pastors, you know, that you'd never see him without a white shirt and tie. You would mow the lawn in a shirt and tie. And that's kind of the way some of those old pastors were. And they were really dignified. Boy, we've really slipped, haven't we? But anyway, one of the things that he gave me in life, and it was so important, he would pray every Sunday, and he had a pattern in his prayer, and he would always pray that the Lord would give him a mind that was sharp and a heart that was sensitive. Every Sunday morning in his pastoral prayer, he would pray, Lord, give us minds that are sharp and hearts that are sensitive. And I can remember my mom and my aunt sometime talking about that. And as you get older, that prayer to remain sharp in your thinking. And I think as I've watched people in my life grow older, and as I watch people in church life grow older, one of the hard things is when the mind doesn't function as you would want. It's not sharp anymore. You begin to lose that edge of memory and some of those things. And it's hard to see that, and it's hard to experience that. So anyway, as we start the year, what is it today that I'm thinking about? Well, as many people do at the beginning of the year, they make resolutions, and they think about things that are going to change. But before you can think about what's going to change, you need to review where you're at. You need to do kind of a status review and figure out where you've been, what's been happening, and then how do you want that to change? Where do you want to make the adjustments and the realignments? And if we're honest with each other, we all need to make alignments because we get off track. You know, on a GPS on your car, if it has a way for you to get to a destination and you make a wrong turn, or you go another way, it says recalculating. And the recalculations, until you get way off course and it looks for another way, generally are recalculations that move you back to the course they had you on. So if you turn left, they're going to have you turning right to get back on that main track. You know what I'm saying? So we need realignment in our lives. And one of the things that I think helps us in staying on target, staying on track, and being aligned is to have a word for the year. Now, I know some of you are kind of laughing at me right now, and that's okay, because you know that I have a reputation for when preaching or teaching, especially funerals and the WMOZ radio broadcast every Sunday morning on 106.9. If you don't listen and you don't have a place to go on Sunday, tune us in on WMOZ. But I pick a word. There's always one word that we focus off of. And most funerals I do, I pick a word that I associate with the person who has passed away, the lesson of the person's life, or what they epitomized in their life. And so I find that one word works real well for a mind like mine. Don't get too complicated. Don't get too complicated, but keep it simple. You know, the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, you know. And so I like to have a theme word for the year, a word that I kind of put up there, and all year long, that's the word that is my guiding word, my guiding light word. And there's a lot of words to choose from. And so it's a process to come to that place of choosing a word. And so today, what I want to do is give you an assignment. I'd like for you to consider finding a word for 2022, a theme word, a focus word for your life. I find often that the search for the word God assists me in. And some of you are saying, I don't think God will assist me in it. Yes, I think he will. There's so many places you can go. Where do you begin looking for that word? It's amazing when you ask God to help you in that process, how a word will lunge out at you. A word will all of a sudden come to light. A word will all of a sudden show up frequently. Or it's like a spotlight goes on that word. And instead of a resolution, a lot of times resolutions are too complex, they're too long, and that's why we break them. That's why we don't keep them, because we have a whole list of them, first of all. Oh my goodness, hard enough to keep one resolution, let alone 10 resolutions. I remember asking someone not long ago, not this year, but in previous years, here in Barnum, about, well, do you have any resolutions for the year? And the person says, yeah, I have 18 of them. And I got to be honest with you, I walked away and thought, 18, they won't even remember them. I mean, that's way too complicated to keep that. And I never did go back and ask the person. And my luck is that person's watching today and I'm going to hear now about this. But anyway, I find I have to go all the way down to one word, just one word. What's your guiding word for the year? Well, what might be a good word? Some of you, even just talking about it, that word has just popped into your mind right now. And you're going, I can't believe that happened. I know exactly what the word is. Others of you are thinking, well, I don't know. But I guarantee you, if you ask God to assist you in that, you'll have a word. You'll have a word soon. So why? Why is it important to choose a one-word theme for your life? Let me give you some reasons why I find one word helpful. First of all, a one-word theme for your life will help you to focus. It helps you to zero in. I've discovered that once I choose that word, I hear it everywhere. I hear it everywhere. I find that once I choose that word, it sort of infiltrates my thoughts. It's there once I commit to it. Even in my random thoughts, that word shows up. It's like it's on the front burner. And it has a way of bringing perspective and anchoring as well. That word shows up. I believe, and it's been true in my life, I believe that a commitment to follow a word that God has given you and to obey that word or to stay within that word is something that God honors in one's life. I really do. I've found that as I've chosen words, it's as though God honors my commitment to that word. And he shows up in that word to teach me and to guide me and to assist me. I think that God gives us that word, and that word becomes, so to speak, the breadcrumbs that we follow on the trail to get us to where he wants to get us to be. I remember one time talking to a friend who we were talking about the word thing, and this person would choose a word as well, would have this discipline in their life, and their word for the year was faithful, just faithful. And this person was telling me how it seemed like every time he turned around, it was like And he thought about being faithful. It led him into other things. It led him into deeper truth. It led him into greater joy. It led him into... It was like following the word faithful. God was honoring that and enriching his life as he made a commitment to living that word and living with that word, faithful. What word do you want to live with this year? What's the word for you that you want to focus in on, that you want to focus in on? I have also found that the word I focus in on, this theme word, is a word that pops up not only when I'm studying, but it pops up when I'm worshiping. Years ago, and it's actually become, this word has become more of a life word even than just a year word. Some of your yearly words will hang with you over the years. You know, you pick a new word every year, but there's that kind of one word from 10 years ago that hovers over you. It kind of becomes a lifetime word. And in my life in ministry and understanding of Scripture, that word is homeless. I know, it's a crazy word. I've never been homeless in my life. But God gave me the word homeless, this would be over 20 years ago when I was serving in Bemidji, and he gave me the word when I was at a conference in California, which I would love to tell that story, but it would become too long a holy fika. All I can tell you, though, in terms of time, I divert. I'm going to go on a rabbit trail. Did you all notice that last week's holy fika was only like 15 minutes long? Uh-huh. Do you know why? Because I was standing in 0 degree temperature, below zero temperature actually, with a wind off the prairie that was just freezing me, and I lasted 15 minutes. It wasn't that it went that long. That's about as long as I lasted in that wind. And my jaws were starting. If you listen to last week's Holy Fika, near the end, my jaws were moving like this much instead of this much because I was freezing out. Anyway, I diverted. Back on track. So the word was homeless. And it was like every time I read Scripture, homelessness came up. I saw homelessness in the children of Israel. I saw homelessness in Jesus. I saw homelessness in my condition before God as one who was a sinner and was homeless. And spiritually homeless. I saw my whole work in the church as a pastor as inviting people to come back home, people that were lost and out there. And I found in worship, praising God, that he had provided a home for me and that he had called me home and that someday I would be home with him in heaven. And that word homeless just invaded my life. In fact, it became the defining of my life. It was because of that word, friends, that some of you that know that years ago when I worked with the Billy Graham Association and did some travel with them or travel in Europe and in South America, my theme, what I did with the Billy Graham Association was simply talk to pastors around the world about the idea of homelessness and calling people to come home to Christ and how he had provided a home. And so that word that God gave me as a word for a year became the defining word of ministry in my life. And I had no idea it was going to do that. I mean, it's a crazy story. From being out in Los Angeles and seeing homeless people for the first time and all that. So the word, when you choose a word, it brings focus to your life. It brings focus to the life. And oftentimes that word shows up. He gives you that word as you're looking for it in doing the things you love to do. The word that I have for this year comes out of my love for fishing and cooking. See, what's your word for this year? I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to wait till the end. But it rises. It came to me in two areas of my life. It didn't come by me sitting and going, what word am I going to choose this year? No, it came to me as I was engaged in thinking about fishing and what I was thinking about cooking. and it merged, and I knew what the word was going to be. So when you pick a word, a theme word for your life, it will bring focus to you. The other thing that a theme word will do is it will motivate you. It will motivate you. Your word will pop up at the most uncomfortable times. I've had words that I've chosen different years of my life that they pop up. And sometimes when they pop up, they do make you uncomfortable because they pop up at the time when you need them most. And sometimes they pop up as a corrective. They motivate you. They motivate you to once again look at your long-term goals and to not be bogged down in the daily stuff. Your word keeps you on top of the swamp. You know, walking in a swamp, you can get bogged down. I grew up outside of Mattawa near Park Lake, and on the property that my parents owned, there was like a pothole, what we call a pothole. And around that pothole, there was a bog. And there were, you know, there were cranberries in that bog and stuff. And I not only duck hunted on that lake all my life, but we picked cranberries in it and we would go down. And, you know, it was a muddy bottom. It wasn't like a lake you would swim in. It wasn't a lake you would fish in. It was a lake that was for hunting. But it had a floating bog around it. And you had to be careful because there were holes in the bog. And if when you were walking, you hit one of those holes, you'd go straight down. I mean, it would just, you'd go down. And that you could get bogged down walking in that bog. In fact, we laid pallets down all the way down the bog to the lake. So when we duck hunted, we didn't have to walk through that bog and fall through it when we had packs on our backs and stuff. And so this word that you choose, it motivates you to stay on top and not get bogged down with daily stuff, because the word keeps your eyes looking up to the greater purpose that you're trying to accomplish. And that's important. That's an important thing. One thing that we see that happens in our lives is oftentimes small emergencies will rob us of greater purposes. And some people call that the tyranny of the urgent. And when we are in that urgent, we can feel bogged down and overwhelmed. And many of us, when we're overwhelmed, we begin to shut down. And then those goals that we have, what we really want to do, never gets accomplished because we are shut down by the tyranny of the urgent. When you have a theme word in your life, when there's one word, you say, this is the word this year, and this is where I'm walking, this is what I'm headed toward, and it motivates you to keep on track. In your circumstances, a single word theme will move you toward those long-range spiritual goals. So what's the third, what is the third thing? I jotted down, I had to keep track of what I was going to do today. And the third thing that a theme word does for you is it makes you accountable. It gives you focus, it motivates you, but it also makes you accountable. When you have a theme word, it's like putting a sign outside yourself, you know, like a sign on a store. If a sign says McDonald's, you expect there's going to be hamburgers there. You walk in, and they're accountable to have hamburgers because they're McDonald's, you know. And if you see a Mexican in Taco John's and they'll say something about Mexican food or whatever, you expect to see that when you walk in. When you speak that word, your theme word, it makes you accountable to live that word, to live in that word, to exhibit the qualities that are implied by the word. And one of the important things and hard things to do is to share that word with somebody, to tell someone what your word is. Because the minute you tell them, now you are really accountable for that word. But even if you don't tell them, if it's between you and God knows that word that you've committed to, there's an accountability as well. So a word, choosing a word for the year can be one of the best spiritual disciplines. If you've never had a spiritual discipline, you say, I don't even go to church. I don't have any spiritual disciplines. I don't read my Bible daily. I don't have any spiritual disciplines. This is all new to me, Kendall. And I don't even know if I want to have spiritual disciplines. I have enough time just getting up and taking a shower and brushing my teeth. That's a discipline I've got. So you're not interested today in becoming a spiritual disciplined person. I get that. Spiritual disciplines take work. But maybe a starting point for growth for you would be to choose one word, just one word, and make that your discipline. So what is my word? What is my word for 2022? And by telling you my word, I become accountable. My word for 2022 is the word filter. Filter. Now, some of you are going, that doesn't sound like a very spiritual word. How can that be a word of spiritual discipline? Well, let me tell you how I got there. First of all, I'm looking at buying a motor for my boat for next summer for fishing. And the motor that I'm looking at doesn't have a carburetor in it. It has fuel injectors. And they run really smooth and they're really quiet and all that. And I was looking at this motor, and the guy looked at me and he said, these are great motors. You won't have any carburetor foul up. However, it's really important for long-term care of the injectors that you filter the gas, put clean gas in this motor. If you run clean gas, you'll never have a problem. And he said some people actually have a funnel with a filter and they filter their gas just to be sure that it's clean. Filtering. Well, then I was looking the other day at, I was looking at preparing fish. And I was looking at frying fish. I love smoking things, you know, that I've got a couple of smokers and I'm always dabbling with that. And I dabble with my grills and I love cooking outdoors like that. That's one of my passions. And, but I've never gotten into frying foods. I'm not a fryer. So like with walleye or panfish, I pan fry things. I'll pan fry it, but I don't deep fry things. I just haven't gotten into it, but I was interested in it. So, I started looking at some of my cookbooks on frying. And one of the things that I noticed in all of the cookbooks in terms of doing good fish frying is the importance of filtering your grease. Filtering it. Okay, so I'm in the process of what's going to be my word for 2022. And then I go online and I'm on the YouTube thing. And I'm trying to get a radio program together. And out of nowhere, I see on YouTube a bunch of little kids singing. And I hit it on its, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I thought, that's filtering. Filtering what you see. Filtering what you hear. And the connection to spiritual life. And then I turned on the news. And I'm watching the news. And someone makes a comment on the news about the importance of filters in listening to news. It jumped out at me. The word filter. And that God was really directing me in for 2022 to put that word clearly in front of me. Now, I haven't done a lot. I think it's too early in 2022, and I don't know where the breadcrumbs are going to lead me in spiritual growth. But already it has struck me that filtering has something to do with not only what's coming into me, but what's going out of me. That God is already speaking to me about the word filtering. And that it has a lot to do with what I let in. I need to filter what I let in. And that took me to the Bible verse that says, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever things are excellent, dwell on these things. Well, what does that require? It requires filtering. Don't let in things that are not excellent. Do not let things in that are not pure. Do not let... So now all of a sudden I'm thinking, so what do I let in? What have I been letting in? And how is that impacting my life? How is that clogging me up? How is that keeping the injectors in my motor from working well? See what's happening? The word filter. And we're only into the first week of January, and my theme word is already impacting me. But it's not only filtering what comes in, it's filtering what comes out. Filtering my words, what I say, how I respond. Huh. It's going to be an interesting word for me. Filter. Filter. I'd like to challenge you today to find a word. Ask God to help you to find a word. I got a feeling God wants to do something in some of your lives in ways that you've never had him do. One word. Just one word. I've had persons come up to me and say, you know, I was at a funeral that you did 3-4 years ago. And the word you used was, and then they'll give me the word. They remember the word. The word for me this year is filter. And I am so excited to see where it is that God is going to lead me as I follow the breadcrumbs on the trail. I pray that God will give you a word for 2022. There's so many. I could start naming words that would be good words, but I don't want. I want you to enjoy the process. Do it, friends. Do it. I'm not asking you to read the Bible through this year, although that's not a bad idea. I'm not asking you to do anything that's huge. But this morning I just feel led, called to invite you to pick one word and let God use that word to take you deeper, to stabilize and anchor you through whatever it is that 2022 holds. So, thank you for joining with me as we begin the new year. I'm so glad you're here. God bless you.